Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. As always, Robbie Stanley here as your host. Things not going overly well for the Nashville Predators right now. They've lost five games in a row. They are 0-4-1 in their past five games. They'll have a date with the St. Louis Blues coming up on Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. So a chance for the Predators to dig themselves out of that. You got a lot to get to on Preds Insiders here today. You'll hear from Predators forward Mikael Granlund coming up here in just a few minutes. Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst, offers his thoughts on the Preds right now and exactly where to go from here as they've gotten off to a sluggish part of their season. You'll also hear some comments from Ryan Johansson and Matthias Ekholm coming up later in the show as well. All that ahead. But we begin with just the problem in front of the Predators right now. I think it's been a five-game stretch of different reasons contributing to losing, but losing nonetheless. And, you know, it's early. You know, it's game seven into the year, game eight coming up tomorrow against the Blues. There's still plenty of time to dig your way out of this if you're the Predators. But I think there needs to be a sense of urgency, and I think there is a little bit of a sense of urgency right now. I was out at Centennial Sportsplex on Tuesday and kind of took in Predators practice that way. They got Sunday off, Monday off, and we're back on the ice on Tuesday looking ahead to Thursday against St. Louis. And that was one of the more intense practices that I can remember. Number one, it was long, and you don't get a chance to practice really for over an hour many times throughout the course of an 82-game season. But it was intense. I mean, there were physical battle drills. There was a lot of physicality going on out there. The pace was really good. I mean, it was a heavy practice on that Tuesday. So how's that going to translate to the game coming up on Thursday? I don't know, but certainly an interesting way to get things rolling. And we talked about that a little bit this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, just what this could mean for the Predators as they're in this stretch, and got some thoughts from Ryan Johansson and Matthias Ekholm as well. Here was that conversation and just the thoughts on the Predators and their practice yesterday looking ahead to the Blues.
Joe, I dropped by Nashville Predators practice yesterday, and I put together a little piece at our website here on the station, just kind of detailing what went on. But you go to enough hockey practices throughout your life, and a lot of the times, Joe, it's just kind of the same old stuff out there. You know, they're getting a good sweat in. They'll be going for, I don't know, 40, 45 minutes, 55 minutes. And there's not much physicality going on out there. You're just working on different things. That was not the case yesterday. It was basically about an hour and 35 minutes of just beating each other up in a battle drill yesterday for the Predators. And, you know, obviously they have not played since Saturday. They won't play again until Thursday. So a little bit more of an extended break for the Predators than you typically see in an 82-game season, but they were getting after it yesterday at that practice, and a little bit, no screwing around is kind of the term that I would use in that practice yesterday, and it was interesting to watch out there. You got a big divisional matchup against St. Louis coming up on Thursday. They've moved some things around on the defense pairs. It looks like it's going to be Josi and Fabbro together, Ekholm and Carrier together, and then McDonough and Lauzon together now that Borowiecki is going to be out for the foreseeable future. But moving Ekholm back over to the left and having kind of three veterans down the line there and then three younger guys next to him, kind of an interesting approach from the Predators.
What do you think it means?
I don't think that they've been happy with the results thus far of McDonough and Ekholm together in terms of Ekholm being on his right side. So I think that's part of it. I think also they want one of those guys out on the ice at all times just to see how it works. You know, do I think that there's a chance at some point they're going to go back to, you know, Ekholm and McDonough being together? Yeah, I do, because the way that this is currently set up, I mean, one of those guys is not going to get a lot of ice time. And right now it's looking like it's going to be Ryan McDonough
right,
getting a lot of ice time.
Because that's the thing, when you tweeted that out yesterday, I was like, you know, you could look at that like they're just specifically not happy with McDonough, too. You could look at it that way.
You could. I don't believe that to be the case, but, I mean, when you do it that way, that was kind of my problem.
He's going to lose ice time.
Well, we talked about, like, you know, putting all three of them on the left when they got McDonough, and some people wanted them to do that from the jump. And I understand the thinking there. The reason I didn't like it is because I knew it was going to make one of them not have enough ice time. I mean, look, McDonough still be out there on the penalty kill, and he'll get decent ice time. But if you're playing with Jeremy Lozon, that means one of two things. Either you're not getting enough ice time, or he's getting too much ice time.
Right.
And neither one of those things are probably very good. So I'm interested to see what this looks like. But, 2-4-1. They've lost five games in a row. I think there's an urgency level that they need to get to. I think they started to get there against Philadelphia, and now we'll see if they can build on it. Ryan Johansson talked about that yesterday at Preds practice, kind of the message that got sent before the Philly game. Here's what Johansson had to say.
You play a lot of hockey. You guys have gone through stretches before where the team success hasn't quite been there. But what's your message? What's the message as you guys try to reset?
I think there's a big message, big conversation just as our group going into that Philly game about playing with way more purpose and playing with more pride and not like it was a panic button or anything, but we need to get back on focus on the things I was just talking about, things that make myself successful, things that will lead to the team success, and entirely as a group, all focusing on that. And we did that against Philly. Obviously we lost, but the numbers were all in a direction that we can feel good about, and we can take out of that game moving forward. So it sucks losing, but we just got to keep focusing on the whole package.
I did think Philly was probably the best game they played in this five-game stretch. There's a better job they can do of getting to the middle of the ice, kind of those quality scoring areas, and converting once they get there. But sometimes, Joe, in the NHL, like, it's not always as easy as, you got a losing streak, you're just going to play really well and get out of it. Like, sometimes you got to dig your way out of it. And I feel like that's where the Predators are right now. It's kind of in that process of you got to find a way to dig yourself out.
Yeah, so this style of practice, first of all, I've seen this go both ways plenty of times. It's like, a team is struggling, and then there's like a practice that's, or maybe it could be a team meeting or whatever, but, it's obvious they're trying to reset and get grittier and all that, and I've seen that work. And then also like, that awesome practice sure helped you out when they lose 5-2 a couple days later.
Right.
But do you sense that that it was kind of because of the opponent coming up in particular, or because John Hines just feels like ultimately they're not being tough enough?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think the opponent does have something to do with it. I mean, they didn't do a whole lot yesterday where it was the full ice. A lot of it was you've got a goal here and another goal 25 feet away, and you're in the middle
Small spaces.
Beating the crap out of each other. And that's – like, there are very few practices where I wander around and like think and I'm looking out there like, is somebody about to get hurt? Like, that was one of those yesterday. Like, I mean, you had Ryan Johansson and Kiefer Sherwood like on the edge of like almost killing each other out there. He was throwing Sherwood to the ground out there, and I was just like, geez, what is going on out here? But it was intense, and we'll see if it works coming up on Thursday. But certainly a different looking practice yesterday for the Predators. And the question, really, kind of looking at their game right now, is what's been going wrong and how do you dig your way out of it? And I talked to Matthias Ekholm about that yesterday in the locker room as well. Here's what Predators defenseman Matthias Ekholm had to say.
You played a lot of hockey. You've been through the ups and downs of a season. What's your message? What do you think the message is for you guys as you try to reset here?
I mean, obviously learn from it, but I think the most important thing is to stay together. We have a lot of veterans in here, and everybody's been through this. I mean, the slumps or bad starts to seasons, what have you. I think it's something we've had it in recent years. I think last year wasn't a great start either to the season. So it's all a matter of staying together, believing in the process, and fixing what we've done in the past games to correct those things. And other than that, I mean, you got to stay calm. It's game 7, game 8, game 9 coming up. Like, It's 82 games. It's going to go. And I'll say this. I'd rather have some adversity in the beginning of the year than I would in the end of the year. And knowing being to the final at least one time, we got really hot late in the year, and that's usually what your focus should be. So it's early in the process, and I think everyone in here knows we can play really good hockey. We can beat off five teams in a row, and what you need down the stretch. So for us, stay calm, learn from the process, and just work hard, stay together.
D-zone coverage-wise, like how much of it has been, do you think, just coming together with new pairs and just the natural process that takes?
Honestly, I think the D zone has been not our issue. I think, as I said earlier, there'd be like one instance of a mental break of like we had a 3 minute shift in the D zone because we broke a stick the other night, and just stuff like that have seemed to happen. I don't think there's been like common issues that have been reoccurring in the D zone. I think it's more or less been that combined with us. Obviously, our power play hasn't been clicking, and our offensive side, we need to score goals. There's some games, I mean, we've let in three goals. You should have a good chance winning a game if you let in three goals. So I think, obviously, we have new pairings. We want to keep continue building on that. But in a sense, I don't think the defense has been the real big issue.
Power play-wise, is it just a matter of kind of sticking with it and it eventually goes? I mean, you guys played a lot of power play before, the guys that have been out there.
Yeah, no, it's a hard question because, I mean, last year we had pretty much the same units, yeah. and it was really, really good. It probably was the number one thing that got us into the playoffs. So I think, obviously, we have some top guys that have scored a lot of goals, and when you start off a bit slower than you maybe have anticipated, you can get in your head. But I don't see this as a problem either. Like, I think it's just a matter of time here. I think it's not like we haven't got into the zone. We haven't gotten opportunities or looks. I think that's been there. I think it's more a matter of just getting that puck in the net and maybe have a little bit better net front presence. I mean, that Carter Hart was really good the other night, but if we can just get into his ice every once in a while, we can. He'll have a hard time stopping him when he can't see him. So it's a lot of cliches, but I think, as I said, it goes for the power play. It goes for 5-on-5. There's so much left of the season. We've got to keep playing away and learn our lessons and be better.
So that was Matthias Ekholm yesterday at Predators practice. A couple of interesting things there. In the power play is operating. They're at 6.9% right now, which I think is 30th in the league. So I think 2-for-29 is the number. I'll have to go back and double-check that. But the power play is bad right now. And I agree with Ekholm largely with what he said there. Like, I think there have been some times where they looked okay on the power play. I mean, he is right. For the most part, they're getting in there and they're getting set up. It's not like they're just getting shut down at the blue line every time, like a few Predators power plays we've seen over the years. But at some point, like, that's gotta break through. I think the net front is a good way to get that rolling. I don't know that I agree with him with D-zone. I mean, I think they're shaking things up on the defense pairings for a reason. I don't think the D-zone has been very good for the most part. Now, they've had games where it's been fine. Like, they're fine in the D-zone against Philadelphia the other night. I don't think UCSR was very good the other night against Philadelphia. So it's not been one specific thing the whole time, to his point. But every area of their game needs to get better starting Thursday.
Yeah, those are some interesting comments. And I'm with you. I mean, you make those changes in the back end, and I mean, it's got to mean something. I also, just on the Ekholm McDonough, I mean, so much emphasis was put on that the entire offseason, right? Was like basically preparing for that. Matthias, get used to the other side, et cetera, et cetera. So I got to think this is temporary. I mean, if this isn't temporary, then man, that's a miscalculation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to think it's temporary. Like, I think Ekholm's got to go back over there at some point. Otherwise, like I said, I mean, you've got one of your best three defensemen are not playing enough. Like, that, I don't think that's a good strategy as you move forward. So, you know, I don't really mind you trying out something different right now. And look, maybe Ekholm back on the left, like, he's just more, I mean, obviously he's more comfortable over there, but maybe that works out for you. But the other part of it is this. You're back to the same top four that you had a year ago with Josi and Fabreau. And I know Josi and Carrier played a lot together at times last year too, but Josi and Fabreau was the majority of the time, and then Ekholm and Carrier. Well, you've gone on record and saying that, you know, that wasn't good enough last year and that you had to go upgrade your defense. So, like, at some point, you're going to have to go back there. Look, I haven't been overly impressed with McDonough thus far. But we're seven games in, and he's got a career worth of sample size that tell me he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think with him and a lot of guys, what you worry about is, you know, it's not a young team. They're key guys. Most of them are not young, and yep. They've logged a lot of miles. Well, we said the same thing about Duchene going to last year, and he had his career year. So it's not like – I mean, there should still be good hockey left in him. But there are a lot of guys who – like, at some point, they hit the up, there's the decline. And, you know, if a few of them hit it all this year, then it could be not good.
Coming up next, you'll hear from Predators forward Mikhail Granlund. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We were joined by Predators forward Mikhail Granlund this morning on Robbie and Rex Road to look ahead at the matchup against St. Louis on Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. Here was that conversation with Mikhail Granlund.
Mikhail, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Everything's good. Everything's good, and glad to be on the show.
Well, thanks for being with us, Mikhail. We really appreciate it. So I was out at practice yesterday, and you know, obviously with the schedule being what it is right now, you know, a few days off here leading up to the St. Louis game, you don't get a chance to practice like you guys did yesterday a whole lot. What did you make of just the intensity level of getting back out there on the ice yesterday at practice?
It was great to get back on the ice. Obviously, we have a little bit of time here, and it's a good chance to get some work done in the practice. It was good practice, and one more today, and then getting ready for tomorrow. So, you know, just trying to get ready for the next little stretch here at home, and then going on the road.
Mikhail, what's the mood in the locker room right now amid this five game losing streak? Is there some anger in the locker room?
I mean, obviously it hasn't been the results we want, and obviously I don't think our game has been at the level it needs to be to be able to be successful. So there's some things we need to do, but I think the last game against Flyers, obviously we really couldn't get the result, but there was some good things out there, and it really looked like our Nashville Predators hockey game a little bit. So there's something to build on, but we gotta really try to figure this out and try to get those points we need.
Look, obviously, you know, the power play last year for you guys, really successful, and your unit in particular. I mean, you guys were together the whole year. You're together again this year. It's not gone in the net for you thus far. Just what are you seeing out there on the power play right now? And then is it just a matter of sticking with it? Are there some adjustments that you guys need to make on the power play? Just what are you seeing from your vantage point right now?
Well, obviously, it hasn't been an easy start for the power play. A lot of times it's just sticking with it, and once you kind of get that goal or something, you know, you really loosen up a little bit, and then you're not like really trying to make things happen. You know, you just gotta kind of play hockey and trust each other, and and maybe simplify in a little bit, but you know, just play hockey, and there's just a lot of good players on that power play, so let's just let the instincts take over, and I'm sure the power play will improve a lot.
Mikhail, going back to the practice Robbie referenced earlier, I mean, it sounds like it was physical, tight spaces, things like that. Would you call that a unique practice in your time playing for John Hines, and an especially grueling one?
I don't know. I think we've had practice like that before too, and obviously we had a 2 days off, and then you know we wanted to have a really good work day, and I think we really did that, and there was energy at the practice, and I think it was a pretty good practice. So I think it's good to get work done. You know, it's a long season, and there's not a lot of times we can actually have that good and long practice. So I think that was good for us.
Preds forward Mikhail Granlund on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Mikhail, I mean, obviously going back years in Minnesota, you're familiar with Nino Niederreiter. What has he brought to your room and your group thus far, and what are your expectations for him as he continues to grow with more familiarity in your lineup as the season goes?
I mean, he's a great player. He's been in a league for a long time now, and, you know, you just know what he's going to bring every single night. He's going to work hard. He's going to be hard in every single battle. He's a really, really good player around the net, and he has a lot of skills that I don't know if everybody always sees that, but he's a really skilled guy, so he can make some plays. So and that's a guy like he's a great guy. So I'm really happy he's with us, and I think he's played really good this beginning of the season, so hopefully he can keep it up.
What do you make of the St. Louis Blues so far, Mikhail? And as you've looked at them, do they look like, you know, they look like recent St. Louis Blues teams? And what just about the rivalry, you know, between these two teams?
I feel like they still have the pretty much the same group there, and I mean they've been one of the top teams in the league for a long time, and it's never going to be easy against them, and they have a lot of skill out there, so it's going to be a really good challenge for us tomorrow.
Mikhail, obviously you've played a lot of hockey, you've been through some stretches as a team before where the results aren't going your way. David Poile said yesterday that everybody needs to be better, the players need to be better, and that kind of starts this week against St. Louis. What's your reaction to that? What's kind of your message to your group right now as y'all try to get this thing turned around?
Well, it starts trying to be better, and it's just getting ready for the game and doing all you can. You're going to be best version of yourself in that game, and just work hard, do the things that makes us successful. We play and the results will come, but we really need to get the game in order, and we need to obviously all the players to really find the rhythm. But I'm really confident it will come, and we have a great chance for that tomorrow night.
Yeah. So when it comes to obviously we think of you guys, Mikhail, hardworking team, tough to play against. This is what you want to be. You want to be physical. But of course, there's a lot of skill on this team. You guys had so much offensive success last season, and it seems like maybe there's just some plays that are just a little bit off here or there. That I don't know, when you guys watch video, when you watch, go back and watch these games, is it execution that's just a bit off that you expect to kind of naturally get aligned, or is it more than that?
I mean, it's a little bit of both. I mean, I feel like there's some games this week, just like there's like a lot of obviously different things in a game. Defensively, we need to be better and all that. But offensively, it's a lot of times it's just working harder. Then once you kind of get to the confidence and you get that rhythm, everything kind of slows down and you're not over trying. Let's just put it this way. So right now it feels like obviously we haven't had the success, and it's like you're kind of pressing and chasing things a little bit, and that's usually that's not the best way to try to win hockey games. So you're just gonna play the game the right way, and your instincts will take over, but you gotta do the right things out there, and that's gonna help you win some hockey games.
Well, Mikhail, we're looking forward to seeing you guys back on the ice tomorrow as you take on the Blues. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Preds forward Mikhail Granlund for joining us on the show. Coming up next, you'll hear from former Preds defenseman and current Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on what he's seeing going on out there right now with the Predators and the struggles and how to dig their way out of it as they look ahead to St. Louis. That's next. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Back in Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Former Preds defenseman Hal Gill and current Preds radio analyst joined us on Robbie and Rex Road on Tuesday to offer his thoughts on exactly what he's seeing out there with the Nashville Predators amidst this losing streak. Here was that conversation with Hal Gill.
Hal, good morning. How are we doing?
Legendary. I'll take that. If you're going to think I'm legendary, I feel a lot better about myself, so I appreciate it.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Hal. We're just all a team player here on the program.
Maybe misinformed, but nevertheless, I'll take it.
That's right. So, Hal, obviously, from a results standpoint, things are not going very well for the Predators right now. They come home from Prague, two games that just not very good against the Dallas Stars. You blow a lead against L.A., blow a lead against Columbus, and then I thought actually they did a lot of things right against Philadelphia, but end up on the wrong side of that one as well. So, as you look at the picture as a whole, when they've gotten back from Prague, obviously the results speak for themselves, but where do you think they are in their game right now?
It's a good question. I think, obviously, they're not where they want to be. I thought they played, when you look at it, the L.A. and Columbus, they had good starts in those games. They just fell apart in the third. So you know, if I'm looking at the breakdowns, it's defensive zone coverage. They need to be tighter there. They need to be a little more diligent in what they're doing. But, you know, I didn't think it was bad. Like, they played a pretty good, solid game. So, I think they have to, you know, Philly is a hard-nosed team. They don't have all the superstars. They're just going to grind and slow play it. And they did that very well, but the Preds should be able to overcome that. And that's what concerns me, is they should be able to overcome a hard-working team, because they are the hard-working team, right? I mean, that's what they've talked about as their identity. So there's a little concern there. Now, I think this break that they have right now is probably the best thing for them. You know, you get some time to regroup, reassess, get kind of, and I hate to say this, but get kind of angry in practice. Get kind of mean in these practices leading up to this game on Thursday, and get ready to go and be that determined team that they know they should be. And so this is a good reset. So we're going to learn a lot about this team and the character that they have.
Yeah, and you bring up the fact that a grinding team kind of outgrinds them. And then before that, you know, I thought at times, you know, they looked like, compared to the Stars, to the Jackets, like, you know, they looked, I thought, a little bit slow at times. Obviously, especially, you know, like later in the Columbus game, I mean, everything comes a part of them. But do you feel like do they look a little slow out there? Like they're just they don't have that gear right now?
Yeah, and I think that's on, you know, a lot of teams. If you look slow, it's not guys, you know, a lot of say players are playing slow. I always found that if a team executes and moves the puck efficiently and moves it and executes those plays through the neutral zone, all of a sudden they look fast. And that's what they need to get to, is that, you know, they have too many turnovers and it comes back on you, and you're going to look slow if you're turning the puck over. It's just the way it is. You're on the wrong side of the puck when you turn it over. And so I think if they can get their level of execution through the neutral zone, on their breakouts, attack the line with speed, and they've shown signs of that. They've shown that, where they can do that. I think the beast line has gone out there and battled hard to get pucks in, and they look fast because they're getting pucks in and they're heavy on the forecheck. It's just, you know, it's one line that was doing it and not overly consistent. But they need a lot more of that speed, that direct line, we're coming at you speed. And if they can execute, they're going to be able to get that speed.
Hal Gill on with us here on Robbie and Rex, a Predators radio analyst. So, Hal, you mentioned the breakdowns in the defensive zone. Obviously, you've got an eye for defensemen that are way better than ours. Just as defensemen, but also just as the five-man defensive unit, what are you seeing out there right now in the defensive zone that needs to get a little bit better? And how much of that do you think is – maybe just new pairings getting used to each other?
Yeah, I do think, like you talked about, McDonough and Ekholm playing on the offside. I do think that takes an adjustment. I do think McDonough is trying to adjust to a different system. And, you know, it's not secondhand for him. So I feel like he's a little bit off. But I do think, you know, he's such a good player, it's just a matter of time before that comes around. Ekholm is the same way. Adjusting to the other side is an adjustment, but I think he can make it. I think it's all the defensemen. And when it's all the defensemen that are a little bit off, then I look at, you know, the team just isn't confident in what they're doing. And I say it all the time, it doesn't take much to get confidence. You do a couple things the right way, and you work hard for it, and then all of a sudden you get confident, and then you stop thinking, and then you start to get on a roll. I think this is a team that the way they play, they can get on a roll when they're confident. You know, they have all the parts. They have all the pieces. We've talked about it in the offseason. It just hasn't shown up yet. So I think get a little confidence in this game coming up, and then they can build on that. And I think that's what they have to have the mindset. We're going to work hard and overwork and battle until we find that chemistry, that confidence, and then things will go our way. But you have to work for it.
How do you explain the power play, Hal? Same people, such success last year and none now.
It's frustrating. Is that, can I explain that?
Yeah.
Because they do. They are moving the puck really well. And it's like, okay, we're moving it. Like, keep moving it. Keep doing it. Keep working it. But you're not getting the results. And that's, I imagine, you know, I was never a power play guy, but I killed a heck of a lot of penalties. And I could tell when a power play was clicking, it was just like they'd get it to the net and it would happen, bang, bang, and it would be a goal. And then other power plays would move it around really well, and they'd make all these plays, and you kind of knew you had them because they're trying to make all these pretty plays, and you can snuff it out. You can read the play, and you can kill the play. Sometimes, you know, as a power play, if you're struggling, you just got to play 5-on-4 and battle it out, get it to the net, grind out the goals until you get that confidence and until you feel like, all right, we're attacking the net. We're not just making pretty plays, but we're doing it while we're attacking.
Hal Gill on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Overall, Hal, what do you make of the way that Granlund line has played with Forsberg, Granlund, and Duchesne?
Inconsistent. I think they show signs, you know, I think it was a couple games ago where they gave them a ton of ice. You know, they were playing 22 minutes. Because I feel like they started to get their feet under them. Hines recognized that and said, hey, let's give these guys some ice. Let's get them going and reward them for what they're doing. But it's just been inconsistent. And for, you know, when you're struggling like that, everyone's looking at your big guns, right? You're not looking at the fourth line to go, come on, guys, you need to win us a game. You're looking at that line and saying, we need you. We need you right now. That's when... You know, that's why you get paid the big bucks, and that's why we counted on you last year. I just feel like they've been inconsistent. And a lot of that, I think, is playing with that quickness, that execute, move the puck, and attack the net. And I think it's there, and it's there in spurts. It's just got to be consistent. They need them to chip in with one or two a game. And, you know, we're looking at this very different. Duchesne has a great opportunity. Can't get it up over a pad. A great save from Carter Hart the other night, who played amazing. And if that puck goes in, we're talking a different story. I think the Preds get some jump out of that, and they get fired up. Their top line went out and scored, and then they're buzzing. And it doesn't happen, and then they just struggled the rest of the night, like trying to find a way to get it past this kid. But those are turning points that you need. You need Matt Duchesne to score. He knows that. He's doing everything he can to get that big goal. But I think those are game changers that need to start happening.
How you mentioned, you know, getting angry this week for this team. What about, you know, a Josi or someone in particular getting angry? Is it time for something like that, or is it a little too early to start having the, the players-only meetings and whatnot?
Yeah, I think it's early for that. I when I say get angry, I mean a team angry. You know, like you go out and you have a practice. Maybe there's a fight in practice because you're getting frustrated at this point, or I would be at least. And I know the game has changed. You can call me a fossil, but if we lost
legendary
a couple
fossil
games, like there was some fingers pointing, and if you go into a corner and you beat a guy and you come out and you go, you know, maybe you could try a little harder in a game and you poke a little jab at a guy and then he slashes you on the wrist and you turn around and fight him. And I know it sounds barbaric, but that's what always got us out of it is that battle. Like, hey, let's go, you know, it's not practice right now. We got to practice like we play, and we're playing a little bit off right now. We need to turn it up. And I think that starts in practice. And when you're confident and you're going, you can take an easy practice, but right now I would want to go out there and play physical, hard, battle, and turn that into the games.
Well, Hal, you were legendary as always. Thanks for being with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate Hal Gill for joining us here on the program. Coming up next, I'll give my final thoughts on the Preds as they head into an important game against St. Louis coming up tomorrow. We'll also hear from Nick Kieser for Kieser's Corner as well. All that ahead. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Preds Insiders, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Robbie Stanley here with you as always as your host. I'm going to give my final thoughts on the Predators as they look ahead to the Blues coming up here in just a few minutes. But first,
Let's go to today's edition of Keezer's Corner. Nick Keezer joins us here on the program. Nick, take it away.
Yeah, Robbie, thanks for having me on the show this evening. I really appreciate it, and I know that I'll take a few minutes to kind of talk about the more pressing issues here in Nashville. I know the first place I want to start is talking about the defensemen. I know that you had reported from practice from Tuesday that Roman Josi was seen with Fabro, Ekholm with Carrier, Ryan McDonough with Jeremy Lazan, and I kind of like that. I really think that we will see these guys kind of come together now. I think we'll see them be more comfortable with each other in some situations because I know that McDonough is a veteran. You know, he's the guy that has all the characteristics of being a championship defender. You've got Josi playing with Fabro, which is not too foreign to Nashville Predator fans. But you've also got Ekholm and Carrier that also are not too foreign to each other either. But with Borowiecki kind of out of commission right now, I completely agree with John Hines's decisions here at practice. Now, we don't know if this is going to be the lineup going into Thursday or not for sure. If I had to guess, it probably is. But ultimately, I like it. I think when they are playing 5-on-5 hockey, I think that this is kind of a lineup that you can be happy with. And I know that with the Blues coming in town, I'm going to get to them now. We need to stay 5-on-5 as best as possible, and that's just aside from the penalty problems that we have so far. We are the third most penalized team this year, believe it or not. It is insane to even say that we are high in that ranking again, but it's not too shocking, right? Because we anticipated that to kind of happen. The teams that are ahead of the Predators are the Florida Panthers and the Los Angeles Kings. The Kings have 38 penalties. The Florida Panthers have 35. These are things that the Predators need to cut back on right now. And I think that taking dumb penalties when it comes to being too aggressive, that's one thing. But the other being retaliation and a few other things as far as carelessness with your stick, tripping, all kinds of the just really dumb things that a hockey player can do in the heat of a moment, aside from fighting majors as well, which the Preds have not had too many of those this year. We've only had a handful, but the St. Louis Blues are a really talented team on offense. You got Vladimir Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, Jordan Kyrou, and Robert Thomas. That's a great 1-2-3-4 punch on offense, if you want to say. I'm really just really thinking about how we can stop those guys if I'm the Nashville Predators, because they have a lot of goals between every single one of them. And I know that last year we had a lot of guys that have a career season against a lot of teams, because I know that Vladimir Tarasenko was over a point per game last year for what he played. Robert Thomas had a career year with 57 assists and 77 points. You had Jordan Kyrou with 75 points in 74 games. Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou got that matching contract. So those guys are going to be around here for a while, terrorizing the Central Division. And I think it only starts to keep showing here this evening when we play them on Thursday. So that's something that you have to look out for. And then also, Jordan Binnington has been quite good in the net so far. I've been pleased with how he's been playing. I know he had one hell of a save. I believe it was against the Blue Jackets, maybe. It was an early save of the year candidate, in my opinion. It was a great toe save by him, but he looks really comfortable back there. And if you're the St. Louis Blues, you kind of need him to look really good right now, because he's someone that did not have a good season last year. He split a lot of time with Ville Husso, and you know that was okay when it was happening. But you weren't really okay with his production at first if you were a big fan of the St. Louis Blues. Last year, he finished 18-14 with a 3.13 goals against average. That's pretty bad for his standards, honestly. He had two shutouts, and that's just not great. And so far this year, he's 3-0. Like I said, pending that Edmonton Oilers game that they're going to have the night before they come into Nashville. So he's looking really good. He has five goals against, and he has one of those two shutouts. So he's someone that the Predators are going to have to get after early, get some high danger scoring chances in the slot, and they'll look A-OK. But you know, honestly, getting back to the Predators here for a second before I hand it back off to you, Robbie, I'm really looking for the top six guys to really make something with their scoring abilities here in the next few games. It needs to start with the St. Louis Blues, because the St. Louis Blues are also doing well on defense with Nick Leddy and Colton Parayko playing together. You got Torrey Krug and Justin Falk. And then you've also got Robert Bortuzzo back there with a young guy, Nico Mikkola. But, you know, I think the Predators are going to be just fine. I think that fans are a little bit of overreacting right now, but who doesn't when you're a diehard fan? I completely understand it. And I know that when we were on Chase Willie and D-Mace earlier this week, we chatted with David Poile, and he was really talking about how it's a collective. They all should be doing better. All the evaluations they do within the team, they're just kind of scooting by right now. They're kind of just squeezing by and saying, hey, we're getting a few things done here. So I'm encouraged to see how the Predators have played at practice, and hopefully that carries over into the game. I turn things back over to you, Robbie. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Nick, thanks a lot, man. So you got the Preds taking on the St. Louis Blues tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Going to be an interesting game. The Blues, as we know, a very dangerous team. Their offense hasn't been great thus far, much like the Predators' offense has not been great. Predators actually rank 31st in the league right now with 2.29 goals per game. Only the San Jose Sharks, who coincidentally are the team the Predators have only have beaten twice so far this season, are worse offensively. So we heard from Matthias Ekholm earlier in the show. You know, you can point out, you know, defensive zone struggles and, you know, obviously they're changing up the D pairings heading into tomorrow as well. Lines expected to change a little bit as well. But offensively, this team's in a rut right now. Be that on the power play or be that 5-5 or 5-on-5 even strength, that's got to get better. They've got to find a way to generate more offense. And obviously that starts with guys like Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg, who I would describe as okay thus far. I think they've been okay. And okay is not good enough for those two. I think Ryan Johansson's been okay. Like, there are very few people, maybe not anybody, that I look at thus far with the Predators and think, yeah, they've exceeded expectations. They've played well. So that's the challenge if you're the Predators as you move forward into this game against St. Louis. You know what type of a game it's going to be. There's, you know, always a physical element to the game when you're playing any Central Division opponent, but especially teams like the Blues and the Stars and the Jets that you've seen a lot over the years. I mean, to a certain degree, the Avalanche as well. They can play the speed and that physical game. So you know what it's going to be tomorrow night as you take on the St. Louis Blues. One thing that I think is a little bit under-discussed right now that I think is going to have to get better as they move forward here, and it's not the first time that we've seen this happen with UC Saros, but I do think it's been a bit of a slow start for him in net. And, you know, it's always interesting to enter into these discussions because you can certainly point out many goals so far this year that the Predators have allowed and ask yourself, well, what in the world is he supposed to do there? And the answer is probably not much. But I do think he wasn't very good in that Philadelphia game on Saturday, and they need him to get back to playing at an elite level. I mean, right now, again, very early into the season, but the numbers are what they are. He's at a 304 goals against average, which is pretty high for his standards, and an 894 save percentage, which is just nowhere close to what he normally brings to the table. So, like I said, there's a lot of reasons for that. The Predators need to clean things up defensively in front of him, in my opinion, but there's certainly another gear or two that UC Saros can get to that he's not gotten to yet. Does that have anything to do with the injury he sustained last year and coming back from that this offseason? I don't know. Could it just be a slow start like we've seen UC Saros get off to before? It certainly could be. I mean, I'm not worried about UC Saros. I mean, the talent is there. The ability is there. You know, he'll be fine as they move forward, but they need him to pick it up pretty quickly. So it goes back to what we talked about earlier. Like, there's not really anybody that's played overly well thus far for the Predators, which is not good, but I think it's also encouraging that eventually that's going to change. And hopefully, if you're a Predators fan, that starts tomorrow night against the St. Louis Blues. I expect it to be a good environment at Bridgestone Arena. Always is, every time the Blues and the Predators get together. And it's time for some of the big guns, including their captain, Roman Josi, to get going. I mean, Roman Josi typically is down there with UC Saros as one of the least of their concerns. Not been great from offensively, really, or defensively from Roman Josi thus far. So it's time for him to get going. I'm interested to see what the new-look lineup looks like as well as the Predators take on the St. Louis Blues. That's going to do it for us here today on Preds Insiders. We'll be back next week. to recap another busy week of Nashville Predators hockey. Appreciate you all for listening. As always, Preds Insider is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.